Calling all detectives. A sample of pure iridium, a bear cub, and a check for $1 million. Those are the exhibits on this page from my casebook. The casebook of Jerry Browning, private detective. Every once in a while, a private detective like me, Jerry Browning, gets a case that stops him cold.
Sleigh bells, Mr. Browning, sleigh bells. I carry them with me always. They are symbolic of the snow, the cold, beautiful, inscrutable snow.
That was my introduction to J. Parkington Wamhurst. He was wearing a parka and a fur-lined jacket and seemed completely comfortable, in spite of the fact that it was a warm Indian summer day. Whack or not, J. Parkington Wamhurst was one of the three richest men in town. So I nodded wisely as he said,
All my life, Mr. Browning, I have been intrigued by the mystery of the white wastes of the polar regions. Would that I could have been an intrepid adventurer. But no, I must stay here, the slave to an inherited fortune. My grandfather, William Worthington Wamhurst, was the patent medicine king.
He didn't have to tell me. That old-time medicine man's wealth was very solid stuff. Proof even against the Sharpies, who were always trying to help his descendants get rid of it.
Mr. Browning, 2 years ago, I backed an expedition to the Antarctic. It was my vicarious voyage. I couldn't resist it, even though my attorneys told me I was simply throwing the money away.
How much did you put up? Who was in charge of the expedition?
I invested $70,000. Johnny Howard was the expedition leader. He arrived back in town yesterday, alone. He'd had a most successful trip.
He did, huh? Well, how come there was nothing about it in the papers? Wamhurst leaned close to me, reached in his pocket, and dropped something on my desk. It was a blob of dull, silvery metal.
We have deliberately kept his return a secret, Mr. Browning, and that object is the reason. Johnny Howard tells me it is iridium, an extremely rare and valuable metal. He claims he has discovered an enormous field of it in the Antarctic, wants me to invest $1 million for the development of that field. Mr. Browning, I want you to prove or disprove the genuineness of his story, even if you have to go to the South Pole to do it.
An eccentric client with $1 million to spend on an expedition told me to investigate it, even if I had to go to the Antarctic. Instead, I went to the Acme Laboratory and hung around watching the technicians put the metal through a bunch of tests. This is iridium, all right, Mr. Browning. That hunk of metal is worth plenty. The stuff's like platinum, only better because it's harder and heavier. Incidentally, it's so pure, I think it's been refined. I brought the Acme Lab report to my client, J. Parkington Wamhurst. Found him out on the sun deck of his 40-room house. This time he was wearing slacks and a pair of Eskimo mucklucks and playing with a fuzzy polar bear cub. The cub was cute and kittenish. Wamhurst fondled it gently while he read the report.
How do you like him, Mr. Browning? I call him Howie in honor of the donor. Iridium wasn't the only valuable thing Johnny Howard brought back from the South Pole. Made me a present of his cub, too. Wasn't that generous of him?
Well, considering that Howard had taken Wamhurst for 70 grand and was after another million, I figured he could afford to be generous. But I didn't say so. Instead, the lab reports that the stuff is iridium, all right, Mr. Wamhurst, but suspiciously pure. Wamhurst nodded absently.
Imagine the field of pure iridium. Well, Mr. Browning, you've given fast, satisfactory service. Just send me your bill.
Send you my... Hey, wait a minute. I've just begun this investigation.
Oh, no, you're finished. I am now completely convinced of Johnny's reliability.
How do you like that? Give a guy a cuddly bear cub and get the combination to a safe in return. I pleaded with Wamhurst. Argue, got abusive. And finally, okay, Mr. Wamhurst, if you say I'm through, I'm through. But I would like a chance to meet a big-time explorer like Howard. Can you arrange it?
Why, certainly, certainly. He's staying right here with me. You can meet him at once. But please don't offend him.
We left the bear cub snoozing in the sun. In a very handsome suite on the second floor of the house, I was introduced to Johnny Howard, a handsome, hunky man. He was a good 6 feet 3, and his face had the rugged, leathery look that comes only from being out in the elements. or under a strong sun lamp. Glad to meet you, Browning. You're an explorer also, eh? Digging out crime, unearthing murderers, and all that sort of thing? The vigilance that never sleeps. Say you ought to come back with me to the South Pole. You could get a lot done in the course of a day. Of course, our days are 6 months long. I didn't like his laugh, and I didn't like his rover boy personality. What's more, I didn't go for that stuff about the long days and nights of the Antarctic. Every school kid knows that. I wondered why Johnny Howard thought it necessary to drag this fact into the conversation. And then I wondered about something else. A vague something. Not even a memory I could focus on. It was more like the memory of a memory. I left the Walmhurst mansion, drove to the library. I got a book about polar explorations. I found out that the South Pole is at latitude 60. Its elevation, 10,200 feet. Its temperature, 70 below in winter. I couldn't picture Johnny Howard in that. Then I had it. I'd captured that missing memory. I left the library. In front of the bear cages at the city zoo, the head keeper answered my question simply by pointing at a descriptive placard. I dashed back to the Walmhurst mansion just in time to see my ex-client hand a check to Johnny Howard. I made a grab for it. Howard, you're a fake and a phony. And you'd better start figuring out how you're going to pay back that 70 grand you got from Walmhurst on false pretenses. That's all there was to it. Howard gave up without a murmur. Not the 70 grand. He'd spent that long ago. What he surrendered was the hopes of another million. Walmhurst wouldn't prosecute. Said he'd chalk it all up to experience. Because he was the kind of fool who'd learn in no other school. Yeah? Howard admitted he took Walmhurst's money, went to South America for a couple of years, and when he was ready to make the big killing, showed up again with a purchased sample of iridium and a polar bear cub he'd got from a farm in Minnesota. He should have planned his background more carefully. I found out at the zoo that polar bears live only at the North Pole. In fact, the South Pole has no land animals of any kind. Like I said, when somebody offers you a deal, there's only one way to be sure you won't be left out in the cold. And that's, before you investigate.